While St. Peter is preaching in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile centurion, he recognizes now, finally, in Acts chapter 10, that the whole of the people of God include Gentiles, include Cornelius and his family, include you. God raised him on the third day. To him all the prophets bear witness, Peter says. And he was bearing witness to Cornelius. Bearing witness in Easter triumph. Indeed, all the New Testament sermons, everyone recorded, is an Easter sermon. A sermon of Christ who rose on the third day. Every sermon goes something like this. You put him to death, but God raised him on the third day. Jesus lives. Easter triumph, Easter joy. This cross was a public spectacle. Consider how then at the chief time of day in the afternoon, how the whole host of Jerusalem passed by and derided Jesus as he hung there. Chief priests, scribes, elders, Romans, Gentiles, Jews alike, all mocked him. It was the public spectacle, and the whole city knew it. Indeed, the whole land knew it. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he bore testimony, not to as many people. Certainly to 500 at once is recorded. But he only appeared publicly to a few. A few to bear witness. A few that would understand. Indeed, no one saw him actually rise from the dead. Many came and met him, or met his messengers, angels, or an angel, but an empty tomb. But the way that he bore witness that he rose from the dead is that he came and he ate and he drank with witnesses, with Peter, the other apostles, at the seashore in the upper room. Why did he bear witness in this way? Why did the apostles bear witness to the Christ who is risen when they did not see him come out of the tomb? Only saw that tomb empty. It was only because the apostles were prepared to see. They were the only ones prepared to believe the meaning of the resurrection. They had been with our Lord for some 3 years. Years of learning, of companionship, of being his friend, of sharing his table. And when their Lord and Savior, their teacher, their rabbi died, their life became empty. Their hope was dead. The all-living one was buried. And then he rose. And he ate and he drank with them. This changes everything. It means that the Jesus who was their companion for some threes was no mere mortal, no mere teacher, but the Lord of life. And nothing could separate him from them. Not even death could separate them from the love that is in Christ Jesus. So also we are witnesses. Our eyes are focused. We are prepared to hear this word and to eat and drink with him. Eating and drinking at his marriage feast that never ends. The feast that we enjoy now and into eternity. He lives who once was dead. He loves as he always has. We have fellowship with him. Indeed, there is nothing But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that makes this Easter. It's the only thing that truly is important. Not the eggs or the bunnies, the feasting with family, the flowers, not the lambs, and the fake green grass. And not even that a dead man rose from the dead. For some three in the scriptures are recorded in the New Testament, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, the widow's son. No, it is the resurrection of Jesus, the death and resurrection of the Paschal Lamb, that is our cause for hope. Our cause for hope at Easter triumph. Paschal Lamb who died for us. By his blood on our doorposts, the doorposts of our heart, we are passed over. The angel of death cannot harm us. Our house is safe. For the Lamb has met God's demands. He has died for us, fulfilled the wrath of God that we deserve in our place. And so his sacrifice is of limitless value. For by it, death is destroyed. For the living, there is hope. But for the dead, there is none. There is hope for us, for we are the living. I believe the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. And so Easter is actually a festival about Christ's death. His destruction of death by his death. That is the promise of Eden fulfilled. He would crush the serpent's head. And he would not torment us any longer. Indeed, every Christian is twice born. Every Christian dies and rises to new life. New life, everlasting, eternal life. It's an unearthly kind of life, for it never ends. It is more than natural, for no one experiences apart from Christ himself, Son of God, supernatural. Indeed, it is God's own life that we receive in Christ, in the font. And in that font, we are named a child of God. And not only that, God himself dwells in us, takes up residency in our flesh, becomes a tenant of our bodies. We can boldly say, I will not die, for Christ lives in me. I believe in the Son of God who died for my sins, paid the price, and has washed me clean, and dwells within me by eating and drinking with me. You see, Easter is also about the body. Not just Christ's body who rose from the dead, but our body which rises with him, body and soul together. Rejoice at the marriage feast. Rejoice when the body and blood of Christ is placed in our mouths. For in it we receive his life, the life of God. An unearthly kind of life, a more than natural life, a life that never ends. Receive this life. The Word is life. The water of the font is life. The Holy Supper of our Lord is the medicine of immortality, of eternal life. Easter is about receiving. Receiving life from the dead. From the dead Savior, Jesus. So the gospel, the good news that he died for our sins and rose for our justification, which we receive in water, in absolution, in bread and wine, body and blood, is the Easter gift. And receiving these gifts, we can boldly declare, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.